Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
A reading from Restoring Our Connections with the World by Japanese Buddhist teacher Daisaku Ikeda. The poetic spirit can be found in any human endeavor. It may be vibrantly active in the heart of a scientist engaged in research in the odd pursuit of truth. When the spirit of poetry lives within us, objects do not appear as mere things. A flower is not just a flower. The moon is no mere clump of matter floating in the skies. Our gaze fixed on the flower or the moon, we intuitively perceive the unfathomable bonds that link us to the world. The poetic spirit has the power to retune and reconnect the discordant, divided world. True poets stand firm, confronting life's conflicts and complexities. Oswald Mbuseni Mitshali is a South African poet who fought against apartheid with poetry as his weapon. He writes, "Poetry reawakens and reinforces our real innermost strength, our spirituality. It is the force that makes us decent people, people who are filled with empathy for those in need or pain, those suffering from injustice and other wrongs."
Why Poetry Matters. Author Nicole Gelada has written about why poetry matters. We introduce each of our groups of poems with her words. Poetry sparks meaningful conversations. When given a national platform, like the occasions when Robert Frost, Maya Angelou, and Elizabeth Alexander read poems at presidential inaugurations, poetry conveys universal ideas and sentiments. It gives us something to talk about and a path to guide our conversations. Poetry doesn't just make a statement in politics. Poetry helps us talk about what is most important in our lives. Our first poem today is "Pantoum, Beginning and Ending with Thorns," by Oliver de la Paz. Because of the way a border on a map twists into thorns, my father stood in line in a ruined country with ruined men. We were footnotes on charred parchment. The boundaries lost at the precipice of a war, shifting on the hour in spliced histories. My father stood in line in a ruined country with ruined men. And what for? Did he imagine the desert he would bring us to? At the precipice of a war, shifting on the hour in spliced histories, the call to leave home throbbed inside him. Urgent pulses, and what for? Did he imagine the desert he would bring us to? Its thirsty and abandoned towns? There was a fire spreading within. The call to leave home throbbed inside. Urgent pulses crossed and uncrossed like tributaries on freshly inked maps. In thirsty and abandoned towns, there was a fire spreading within. So he took us away because the country was ruled by swords, which crossed and uncrossed like tributaries on freshly inked maps. And the guns would sound all night like feast days of saints. He took us away because the country was ruled by swords and men emblazoned with chevrons and pins. And the guns would sound all night like feast days of saints. But really, there was more silence. There was worry and fear. And men emblazoned with chevrons and pins would draw black X's over places they'd conquered. Really. Then more silence. Then worry and fear. The flies would sing their hymnals in procession around the dead. The black X's over places now conquered, maps of provinces, cities, family lines drawn and redrawn. The flies singing their hymnals in procession around the dead. And my father with a ticket to flee because home wouldn't let us stay. Maps of provinces, cities, family lines drawn and redrawn into travelogues and diaries, into stories passed in the night, like my father with a ticket to flee because home wouldn't let us stay. Hum of the plane engine, hum of idling car, hum of the outboard motor, into travelogues and diaries, into stories passed in the night. We were footnotes on a charred parchment. The borders lost to the hum of planes, of idling cars, hum of outboard motors, because of the way the line on a map twists into thorns. Next, There Are No Kings in America by Eileen Casanetto. We are not that kind of country. We are sanctuary for the hungry, the homeless, the huddled, held together by an idea our immigrant fathers believed in. Rendered, it meant independence. Pursued, it kindled war, ordinance, a fighting chance. 40,000 musket balls by themselves did not shape the boundaries on which we map our days. To draw our borders, we needed more than fire cakes, more than a pound of meat with bone and gristle, or salt fish and a gill of peas. We needed the faith and grit of people who were not yet Americans. To be an American is to recognize the sacrifice of the widow and the orphan. It is to understand the weft of tent cities expecting caravans, and the heft of a child in a camp not meant for children, or sitting before a judge awaiting judgment. What do we say to the native whose lands we now inhabit? What do we say to our immigrant fathers who held certain truths to be self-evident? Do we now still pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor? There are no kings in America, only gilded men we can topple again and again.
Poetry makes us feel something. Like all art, poetry is subjective, and what might resonate emotionally with me may not resonate with you. But the best poems make our hearts beat a bit faster or make our hearts swell just a bit when we arrive at the last line. Poetry has the power to ignite our emotional lives and stir our souls, even if just for a moment. Won't You Celebrate With Me by Lucille Clifton. Won't you celebrate with me what I have shaped into a kind of life? I had no model. Born in Babylon, both non-white and woman, what did I see to be except myself? I made it up here on this bridge between starshine and clay, my one hand holding tight my other hand. Come celebrate with me that every day something has tried to kill me and has failed. Dance Party by Clint Smith. Sometimes in the evenings after dinner, after the spaghetti has been slurped and I have bribed the broccoli into their bellies, I give both of my children the look. When my eyes meet theirs, they know what time it is. They push in their chairs, they stretch their legs, and we move the table to the far end of the dining room to clear space for what we all know is coming. Alexa, play the post-dinner dance party playlist. And within seconds, Martha Wash's booming voice rolls in like thunder over our bodies. Everybody dance now. The electronic keyboard and the drums meet in the middle of the room like two dinosaurs, ready to claim the kitchen as their own. Immediately, the jumping begins, and my daughter is flinging her limbs like an offbeat octopus, hands slapping the air behind her as if she's trying to smack anyone who enters her sacred space. I turn around, and my son is doing the robot, or is being eaten by a robot, or is trapped in a universe where robots take over the bodies of little boys in peanut butter pajamas. Nonetheless, there is a robot somewhere. My children, bless them, have not yet learned how to clap on the two and the four. So I laugh, but also cringe as their small hands make a mockery of the melody around them. Now, halfway through the song, everyone is jumping, and I, caught up in the ecstasy of this moment, fall to the ground and convince this no longer young body that it is a good idea to start doing the worm. And when my children see me, their eyes become pools of possibility, and it is clear they see this as a clarion call to climb upon my back. And now, here we are, this strange trifecta, this unlikely trio, a robot and an octopus riding the back of a worm who will certainly need some Tylenol before bed. It is at this moment that their mother comes home. And when she opens the door, everyone is screaming, the speakers are blasting, and the percussion is shaking every wall around us. We look up at her, and she looks down at us. And we have no explanation for this strange scene, only an invitation for her to join.
Poetry gives us words when there are no words. Wherever there is chaos, internal chaos in our minds, our bodies, or an occasion bigger than any one person can bear, poets become translators of emotion. Poems tend to surface during life's most important milestones and transitions too, like weddings, births, and funerals. When we're overcome with emotion, poems express what's swirling in our heart and how to go about reaching the next day of our lives. About Not Writing, by Naomi Raplansky. Tongue-tied, I stand before myself as inquisitor. I loved to mark time with a beat, with rhyme. Time marked me with its thumb, slowed down the pendulum, slowed it down or stopped. Words were locked, words dropped. No use to devise reasons or alibis. Now, strangely, I draw breath well past my 90th. What's begun is almost done, and I must brood upon the much that I sought, the little that I wrought, till time brings its own lockjaw of stone.
From Blossoms, by Lee Young Lee. From blossoms comes this brown paper bag of peaches we bought from the boy at the bend in the road where we turned towards signs painted peaches. From laden boughs, from hands, from sweet fellowship in the bins comes nectar at the roadside, succulent peaches we devour, dusty skin and all, comes the familiar dust of summer, dust we eat. Oh, to take what we love inside, to carry within us an orchard, to eat not only the skin, but the shade, not only the sugar, but the days, to hold the fruit in our hands, adore it, then bite into the round jubilance of peach. There are days we live as if death were nowhere in the background, from joy to joy to joy, from wing to wing, from blossom to blossom, to impossible blossom, to sweet impossible blossom. Poetry makes the mundane meaningful. Someone who pays attention to the world is how Susan Sontag once described writers. Poets have a knack for identifying the fleeting moments of our life we often brush past or ignore. People might think that poetry has to do with having your head in the clouds, but poets actually walk on the earth. They are moving around and paying attention. Poets and writers are here today, experiencing life in all its richness. Then they tell about it.
Baker Orchard by Mark Doty. Holding even flowers subject to the principle of use, the Shakers invented the notion of packaged seeds and a steam-powered distiller for rose water. They uncluttered rooms till space filled with universal light. White walls, a chest, a chair, hung on pegs beside a brew. So perfect in its simplicity as to become a pure channel. There was nothing in those lines to impede the flow of the divine, no ornament to distract the mind from love. Work, Anne Lee said, as though you had 1,000 years to live. Thus the tiny stitches in a sister's cotton cap, the exact lid of a pine box. Pestered by holy doves delivering gifts, exotic telegrams of fruit, flower, and verse, Mother Anne danced to come to terms with the demands of angels. In one print, the brothers and sisters, in their separate portions of the room, thunder on the polished floorboards they swept clean. Clear the excess, they knew, and light will pour in, as in certain American landscapes where light itself occupies space, whole regions of luminosity. Seeing the turn of things and unwilling to propagate, they were swept away. The last four elderly sisters live at Sabbath Day Lake. The brothers are 20 years gone. In October, their grapes yield, suspended from the arbor, as if to recall a paradise of ease, where we only had to look upward to be fed, and the apple trees hold out their thousands of small victories, having managed both to contain light and to bear.
Perhaps the World Ends Here by Joy Harjo. The world begins at a kitchen table. No matter what, we must eat to live. The gifts of Earth are brought and prepared, set on the table. So it has been since creation, and it will go on. We chase chickens or dogs away from it. Babies teethe at the corners. They scrape their knees under it. It is here that children are given instructions on what it means to be human. We make men at it, we make women. At this table, we gossip, recall enemies, and the ghosts of lovers. Our dreams drink coffee with us as they put their arms around our children. They laugh with us at our poor falling down selves as we put ourselves back together once again at the table. This table has been a house in the rain, an umbrella in the sun. Wars have begun and ended at this table. It is a place to hide in the shadow of terror, a place to celebrate the terrible victory. We have given birth on this table. We have prepared our parents for burial here. At this table, we sing with joy, with sorrow. We pray of suffering and remorse. we give thanks. Perhaps the world will end at the kitchen table, while we are laughing and crying, eating of the last sweet bite. To close, the words of Mark Doty from his work, The Art of Description, World into Word. In this American moment, it is fundamentally queer to be a poet, queer to be interested in what can't be packaged or sold in the marketplace, queer to enjoy the fundamentally useless contemplative pleasure of poetry. Queer means that which is not business as usual, not solid identities founded on firm ground, but a world in question. And now, for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart, or in namaste. Again, from Daisaku Ikeda, now, more than ever, we need the thunderous, rousing voice of poetry. We need the poet's impassioned songs of peace, of the shared and mutually supportive existence of all things. We need to reawaken the poetic spirit within us, the youthful, vital energy and wisdom that enable us to live life to the fullest. We must all be poets. Let's keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. Amen.
We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.